right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Corbett, and you are listening to In the Zone with your host, Lieutenant Eric Schein, who is apparently absent without leave at the moment, and we're just trying to track him down. But until then, I'll be taking over the reins of the show. As you know, I'm James Corbett. I'm from CorbettReport.com, and I've been co-hosting with Eric Schein on In the Zone for a couple of months now, so it's good to be back. I missed last week's episode, but I'm back here now and ready to go and get into more of the, well, saddening news that's going on so many fronts all around the world as we speak. And unfortunately, not a lot of heartening news these days, what with the economy continuing to spiral down into its complete, utter abyss, which from which it might never be able to fully recover, which of course is part of the long-term plan. We also have all sorts of news coming out on numerous fronts, including even 9/11. 9/11 blogger reporting just in the last couple of days that the NIST, that wonderful organization that everyone loves to hate, is back at it again with World Trade Center 7 alterations and all sorts of things going on. So we'll get into that after this quick break, and hopefully Lieutenant Eric Schein will be joining us here on Republic Broadcasting. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you may be in the world tonight, and I'm here in Japan broadcasting to you on this 5th day of December 2010 over here, but it's still the 4th of December 2010 in most of the United States right now, except out on the East Coast where it's just past midnight and technically the 5th, but here I am in Japan and I'm hosting In the Zone on Republic Broadcasting, and your regular host, Lieutenant Eric Schein, is nowhere to be found at the moment, so I will be stepping in and taking over the reins for the time being, so I'm happy and privileged to be your host for this evening. And of course, if you want to get in up and on the air, please give a call, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443, and we'll get you up and on the air. But there is, as I was mentioning before the break, just so much going on in the world right now, and I've been off of on a little bit of a hiatus from my own website, CorbettReport.com, for the last couple of weeks, but still, of course, following the news behind the scenes. And what a crazy couple of weeks it's been, even by the standards of the last few years, as we see this acceleration towards the implementation of the New World Order, which I think we've been seeing on so many fronts for so long, and which I've been covering on my own website. But now the news is coming faster and thicker and crazier than ever before, and it's all we can do to try to keep up with it. So I guess just a few of the things that have been popping up in the last few days that I've found particularly interesting and that I'd like to share with you include an interesting article that I just found from the San Francisco Weekly, which is a pretty reprehensible blog in a lot of ways that touches on such things as how great it is that the TSA full body scanners are radiating everyone and how the radiation isn't really all that bad, and running articles like that. But in amongst that is actually a very interesting article from Friday, December 3rd, 2010, and it's under the headline "Exclusive SFPD Concealed DNA Sample Switch at Crime Lab." And it says that records of Bungle in 2008 case were destroyed, investigation finds. Oh, well, 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 what a surprise. And it says, quote, "a forensic analyst's error that resulted in a mix-up of DNA samples, reportedly in a homicide case, has been concealed by officials at the San Francisco Police Department Crime Lab for close to 2 years, SF Weekly has learned. The sample switch, which took place towards the end of 2008, was first alleged in two letters written by an anonymous whistleblower who worked with the lab at the time. The employee alerted both the San Francisco Public Defender's Office and the American Society of Crime Lab Directors Accreditation Board." And the article goes on from there to talk about basically how this has been covered up now for the last 2 years and just the insanity that goes on in this crime lab. And actually, this is really absolutely nothing new to people who have been following these types of crime labs and the work that they've done and really what they've enabled over the years, and especially People might be familiar with FBI whistleblower, whose name escapes me at the moment, but he was one of the first FBI whistleblowers, really, who came out from the FBI crime lab division. He was the head of a crime lab at FBI headquarters, and he was basically blowing the whistle on all sorts of corruption that was going on there, and he actually was one of the people who was showing how the FBI completely, well, not just bungled, but really tampered with the evidence from the WTC 1993 explosion in the World Trade Center back almost 17 years ago, over 17 years ago now. And he was showing how basically the work that had been done in the crime lab on that case was completely useless, and how they tried to point to a urea nitrate bomb when, in fact, the sewage pipes in the World Trade Center had actually busted in the parking lot where the bomb blew up, and putting raw sewage into the mix, which of course would lead to the discovery of urea nitrate, not the bomb material, but just part of the natural human sewage that was being pumped into the parking lot in the rubble and the smoking wreck of that explosion. So other things like that he was pointing out and blowing the whistle on. And unfortunately, his name escapes me at the moment. Maybe if you know, you can call and help jog my memory. But and I've just been told that we have Eric on the line. Is Eric actually up and ready to go here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, Eric, good. Good.
Hey, sorry about that. Thanks for stepping in.
Hey, no problem. That's what I'm here for. So how are you doing tonight?
Not bad. I'm actually at the Sheraton in Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, what brings you to Phoenix?
There's a Freedom Summit out here that Ernie Hancock is putting on. He's got I don't want to call it a mailer, but an electronic email that he puts out. It's kind of like almost like Republic Broadcasting Network or Genesis, but he sends it out to his email list, and then they've got a website. It's called Freedom Phoenix, I think.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
And then Gary Franchi is out here, who used to have a program on Republic, and I think he bounced between Republic and Genesis, and now he's doing his own show independent, and doing like a video podcast kind of like yours.
That's right. In fact, I just had an interview with him just a week or two ago talking about that. And he's on RTR.org.
Man, synergy.
Absolutely. Well, it's, yeah, it must be great to be there.
Yeah, well, I saw it on the Freedom Phoenix, you know, emails that I get all the time. And I figured I would come out here. There was a bunch of judges and other people. And I kind of, on a whim, drove out here this morning, got here this afternoon, this evening, and started passing out flyers about and telling people what's going on with the Coast Guard and Homeland Security to try to, you know, wake them up. And but it did perk up a lot of ears. A lot of people were interested. They took the flyers. And Ernie's going to have me on his program. He's got a radio program as well. And then they're going to help try to get out the information and explain what's going on with the Coast Guard and Homeland Security.
Excellent. And taking Gary's the initiative of getting the word out. That's
great. And Gary's going to probably have me on his program as well.
Excellent. Well, that's a great step.
Oh, and speaking of that, did you put me on the calendar for December for your program?
Not yet. I'm going to have to look up at the calendar. Probably next week would be good for me. So I'll send you an email about that.
Anyway. Yeah, no worries. So what were you talking about?
I was just getting into some of the news that's going on in this crazy topsy-turvy times that we're living in, and talking about actually just something that has just been reported in the SF Weekly about a DNA sample switch that happened at a crime lab and then was covered up by the San Francisco Police Department for 2 years in a homicide case. So just more wonderful reasons never, ever to trust the government with DNA databases or things of that kind, which unfortunately is becoming more and more common these days.
Well, it's like having your fingerprint on file and being able to plant it wherever they want, because, you know, DNA is considered to be more robust and more of a perfect match than quote-unquote fingerprints, which most people know that it's not, that there's a lot of error with the DNA.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and we've seen this time and again. And I was just tying it into maybe you know, I can't remember the guy's name, but there was an FBI whistleblower back.
Ted Gunderson.
No. It was a guy who he ran a crime lab, an FBI crime lab back in the 1990s, and he was blowing the whistle on the WTC investigation and other things. Basically,
the one who died in the World Trade Center.
No, that was John O'Neill. It's another. It's another guy. In fact, I had him lined up for an interview once, but I didn't end up following through with that. But Anyway, his name will come back to me.
Yeah, same here. It'll jog my memory. I'm like, starting to go through. You said FBI. I'm like, Ted Gunderson, no, and then John O'Neill, and
not Sybil Edmonds. But anyway, so
yeah,
definitely
she was,
we've seen this time and again.
She was a contractor for Intel, wasn't she, like CIA?
She was FBI. She was FBI translator.
Oh, no, that's right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, but she was still, but she wasn't an FBI employee. She was a contractor, wasn't she?
That might have been the case. Yeah, I don't really know the details of the contract she was on.
Yeah, no, but, I was thinking of Valerie Plame. I don't know if you've... I've heard a couple of people have actually gone to see that movie and said it's pretty amazing.
I don't even know really what movie it is. I'm out in Japan. We don't...
Oh,
we
well,
don't get the movies
they just
there,
came out with a new movie. I'm trying to get the name of it for the all the events surrounding Valerie Plame.
Right. Well, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm going to actually try to get to go see that myself. But go ahead, let me, I'll back off and you can continue with where you were at and I'll just listen like a fly on the wall for a few minutes here.
Well, jump in whenever you want, but yeah, basically I was just going to tie this into the unfolding agenda, which we've seen in so many different ways of the police state and the way that the police state apparatus has been being put in, obviously, for decades now, but it's just intensifying and quickening now. And of course, Obama came out recently and said that he wanted to have DNA samples taken for every arrestable offense. So, unfortunately,
whether you're guilty or not, just for,
exactly,
like
exactly.
You said, if you get arrested, because that what that does, it wipes out the presumption of innocence.
Well, exactly. I mean, to say that they can take your genetic material, they can take the very essence of what makes you you, just because you have been stopped by a police officer
or even arrested,
even for no reason.
Right, but you're presumed innocent until
exactly.
You get before a court of law and are found guilty. So it's taking
exactly.
Property away from you, your DNA, before you're even found guilty of anything.
But of course, we know that they've already instituted the DNA database for newborn infants, and they've been doing that for over 35 years in most Western countries, including Australia, including Canada, including the United States, including England, where they take your blood at birth for the blood tests, and then instead of destroying them, as you would assume they would, they actually keep those on file, and the government actually says that they have the right to do whatever they want with those, including using them in Pentagon DNA databases, and that came out in Texas recently that they were shipping off babies' blood samples to be used in a Pentagon DNA database without the knowledge, consent, or anything approaching thereof of the actual owners or their obviously their parents. So
right,
it's
what wipes out, you know, like look what they're trying to do with me, where they're trying to quote unquote not just seize my license, my naval commission, my degree in marine engineering, but take my mind from me. And I know that sounds crazy. But literally, if you think about it, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to have me declared medically, mentally incompetent, which is effectively, you know, labeling me. And I can't get medical benefits. I can't work, you know, insurance. That was one thing I want to bring up, and we're going to break. I'll let you close out.
All right. Well, we're talking to Lieutenant Eric Schein. This is James Corbett on Republic Broadcasting. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 4th of December 2010, and it is Republic Broadcasting in the Zone, and we have our host, Lieutenant Eric Schein, who's joining us from Phoenix, Arizona tonight. Eric, great to have you here.
Yeah, did you throw out the call-in number?
I did. Let's do it again. It's 800-313-9443. Please call in, especially first-time callers. Get up, get on the air, and let's have a conversation.
Yeah, first-time callers would be nice. And from across the spectrum, you know, we used to have it where we'd take one male and then one female, and, you know, hopefully we can get some people to pick up the phone, call in, use what little freedom of speech they might still have left, and complain and speak about and even come up with some solutions to what's going on.
That's it. That's the important point. And 1-800-313-9443. And please tell us your ideas and solutions, because that's what we're all in it for. And there are a lot of ideas out there.
Well, so I need help in my own situation. I have standing in court where the Coast Guard has come out. And remember, this is Sally Bryce O'Hare, the woman who came out on CNN, C-SPAN, and said that the Coast Guard and BP were partners. So this special branch of military that's now in Homeland Security that's saying it can administer civilian affairs is somehow partners with a foreign royal corporation.
Absolutely.
And she has her signature on my documents. The Commandant's decision on appeal, Shine 2689, has her signature on it. And she has declared that I'm quote-unquote mentally ill.
Well, it's absolutely terrible, but so I understand you have an extension in order to get your appeal filed.
Yeah, the original was November. They moved it to December with the first 30-day extension. I guess in there, in the letter, the way it was written, they were granting an unopposed 60-day extension, but I can only get 30 days at a time. So it was kind of confusing the way it was written, and the way it was written, it made me believe that the Coast Guard could still oppose the second 30-day. But after preparing this motion for several weeks, a very exhaustive motion for extension of time, outlining why I need more time, I called to follow up on it, make sure they got it. They thought it was the appeal, so I'm glad I called. They didn't really even look at it. And then they grant the motion for extension of time via just the telephonic. They're going to send it out, and they're going to basically file or shelve the motion that I just filed and give me another 30 days till January 10th of 2011.
Well, I guess that's slightly kind of good news, but it just prolongs,
convoluted the process. Sort of way.
Yeah.
So I'm preparing and working on, because in these, I mean, they're trying to declare me to be quote unquote mentally ill or medically mentally incompetent, but then forcing me to be my own counsel, which is like, even the first ALJ, Administrative Law Judge McKenna. He put out his final order in February 20th of 2004 for them bringing the proceedings against me or charges against me for quote-unquote being depressed, March 6, 2003. And remember, this is a branch of military doing this to somebody that they're declaring and identifying as a civilian. So forget about my naval commission, my attendance at a military academy. They have stripped me of all that only to hold me as a civilian so that I am more or less defenseless and don't have the resources or benefits that I would have or would accrue if I were a naval officer minimally, but the Coast Guard can't go after naval officers. And the Coast Guard's not supposed to go after civilians either. It's actually worse what they've done. Rather than going after me as a naval officer, which would violate separation of powers, where Coast Guard goes after the Coast Guard, Navy goes after the Navy for, you know, violations of Articles of War or the UCMJ, Title 10, they're saying that I'm a civilian and that this special branch of military can now prosecute, can police, enforce, regulate, even adjudicate, and thus make civilian law.
And just to be sure, Judge McKenna was the one who recused himself from your case for no adequately explained reason, right?
Right. Sua sponte. I motioned for his recusal because he was going to deny me a hearing. Then he goes ahead and denies me a hearing and grants summary judgment to the Coast Guard. Does not allow the hearing. I even appealed to the Coast Guard commandant about him denying me a hearing and for recusal. They ignored it. They said that they could not hear it, the appeal, because there had not been a hearing, even though the appeal was about him not holding the hearing. Yeah.
Oh, the wonderful world of twisted logic.
Right. Well, it's like the Indians said, you know, white men speak with forked tongue. They say one thing and do another, or they say one thing that means two things, and they pick between the two. They did that on board the APL Jackson, one of the ships. They accused me of barratry, and if you look up the definition of barratry, it has two primary definitions. One is that an individual has damaged either the cargo or vessel of an owner, or the individual is a vexatious litigant.
And they, which one are you?
Well, since they couldn't entice me into damaging the cargo or vessel of an owner by breaking up my room when they took action against me and just, you know, keep, you know, filing civil complaints, formal written grievances and complaints, they went ahead for the second one, and they're trying to prove not only that I'm a vexatious litigant, but that I'm crazy. medically, mentally incompetent.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we'll be back just after this break with a caller from California, so stay on the line.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
To In the Zone on Republic Broadcasting. I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and your host, as always, is Lieutenant Eric Schein of martiallaw911.com or .org. I can never remember.
Oh, it's www.martiallaw911.com.
And crossingtherubicon.org.
Right, got it.
Right, okay.
And there's other ones out there, too, that are still up, like, I think ltschein.cu or no, .us, I think it is. But yeah. Just if you Google... On some of it now, you kind of got to search because a lot of the stuff's getting buried because they're, instead of burning books, they're burning electronic, you know, they're burning electrons.
Yeah, right. Well, we've seen that with the domain seizures by the Department of Homeland Security over the last couple of weeks, which I think is ominous, very, very scary stuff.
These guys are Nazis. I don't know what other word or how better to describe them, but these people are, they're fascists.
The Department of Fatherland Security? I'm sure they're there for our best... I mean, Homeland Security.
Yeah, right.
Sorry,
or no, Department of Homeland Defense. That's what it was supposed to be called.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have Dave from California patiently holding. Dave, are you there?
Hello. I believe the name you were trying to recall is Frederick Whitehurst, former...
That is exactly it.
...senior chemist at the FBI lab who... resigned in 1998 and blew the whistle on all sorts of incompetent performance by the FBI lab.
You're
now,
exactly
addition,
right. And the story that I love about that is when he was trying to show how urea nitrate could easily be, or the urine could easily be mistaken for a urea nitrate bomb, he actually gave a sample of his own urine to the FBI crime lab and said, tell the difference between this and a bomb. And
yeah, the time you're taking a leak, be careful.
Right. Well, there you go. You might be a terrorist, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing about Whitehurst that I hear mentioned once in a while is that he has a great speaking voice, and he narrated all kinds of training videos and films for the FBI labs. He was like the official voice of the FBI crime lab.
Is he still alive, or...
I've heard an interview with him recently. I corresponded with him not so long ago, trying to get him on as a guest, but it kind of fell through. But we should definitely do that. He's a very fascinating guy. I've heard him speak a couple times.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate calling in with that info.
Excellent.
Anything else?
You're welcome, and I'll keep listening.
Cool. Peace, guy. Right,
excellent. Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew the collective intelligence of all the people out there, we could get that. Excellent. Yeah, Frederick Whitehurst. That was a very interesting guy.
But that's why we're stronger together than separate. They want to separate us all. They want to group us. They want to put, you know, you're Protestants, you're Catholics, you're Jewish, you're atheists, you're agnostics, you're male, you're female, you're union, you're non-union, instead of realizing, like, here in America, first and foremost, we're all Americans. And in the world, we're all people.
Yeah, we're all humans. You
know, I hate going to the citizens of the world stuff, but, you know, to some extent, we should be, rather than limiting our Constitution and the reach of it, we should be protecting and defending it, not only for our own people, but anybody that we deal with. The issues of due process should apply to anyone that we contract with outside the country.
Exactly right, and when you start down that slippery slope of abducting and torturing people because they're the enemy, then obviously you leave yourself open to that when you are someone else's enemy, and it doesn't benefit anyone except for the elite at the top.
Well, because it starts out the little guys and the political enemies you know, people like myself and others, you know, and even yourself, I don't know if you've gotten targeted or had any kind of problems or whatever with, for what you're doing. But at some point it gets turned against everybody because it becomes this monster that no one can control.
That's it. And unfortunately, sometimes that has to happen to people so that they'll realize that this is part of a much broader agenda and they'll get active and get in the game. And in fact, that's really kind of the seed of how I got into doing what I'm doing. I've always sort of questioned authority, but I've never really been that deep in my questioning until just a few years ago, actually. I was flying back into Canada from Japan and got stopped by customs, and they started going through my stuff, and they started, you know, saying, "Can we take photocopies of your diary?" And they were asking me about the novel. They seriously said, "Can we take a photocopy of this?" And I said, "Do I have a choice? I mean, what can I say in that situation?"
They know.
Well, yeah, exactly. So it was the most invasive, ridiculous thing I'd ever seen, and that really kind of got me thinking.
But do you understand that, you know, the needle in the haystack theory or whatever? That at some point, by going after you and getting rid of the presumption of innocence, rather than focusing on real criminals or quote unquote real terrorists, and I hate to even go there because a lot of this stuff is fabricated, you know, all you have to do is look at, you know, the idiot savants who have carried out all these terrorist attacks over the last 10, 15 years. A lot of it's all been created by the different, you know, states or corporate states, whether it's the United States, Great Britain, France, Germany, Spain, Japan, China, you could throw a lot of the Asian, you know, empires or countries in as well, to where it's all about control by this, you know, rich, super elite, class of people who believe that they have some kind of divine right to rule and lord themselves over others.
Exactly right, exactly right. It's a horrible state of affairs.
Well, Bush set up the whole rainbow coalition of fascists. Didn't matter if you were brown, white, yellow, male, female, whatever, as long as you, you know, fed the corporate state and did what you were told, regardless of what it was, then join the party.
Well, that's why China has been the supposedly the model through which the UN and the power structure in general has been looking to implement in the future for all of us. And what we see happening in China is going to be happening soon if we don't stand up against it everywhere we can, every time we can.
Well, they're using, just like they used the United States to an extent in what went on with World War I, World War II, and Europe to decimate, you know, because the whole thing was all set up. You had the bankers and those who profit from it, like people like J.P. Morgan, just like he did in our own Civil War in the United States, where he incited the war. And it wasn't about slavery. It was about war. And it was about war profits. And he funded both sides of the Civil War. He profited from both sides of the Civil War. He took down American financial houses prior to, during, and after the Civil War. He helped set up the whole deal with Reconstruction and imposing the military upon the South in the Civil War, something that was fought and, you know, Posse Comitatus was passed to, you know, push back on. But he was backed by his father, who was an English banker, backed by the Crown. You know, and when you study these people and how they do it, it's exactly what Rupert Murdoch is. Rupert Murdoch is a contemporary example of what J.P. Morgan was in his day.
Flesh that out. I mean,
well, Rupert Murdoch built his media empire in Australia. Australia is a member of the Commonwealth. It has England or the United Kingdom as its titular head, just like Canada. And he was backed by the royal families. They allow him to build the empire that he built. Then he used that to leverage and come into the United States and build Fox News and more, and then takes over the American media empire and constructs a media empire here. And he's not acting for the American people. He's acting for the royal crown families of Europe, not just England, but Germany, Spain, Italy, and more. Switzerland. You can throw in all the old European countries.
Just to back you up on that, you also had Conrad Black, who was a media mogul,
right.
And he, of course, he got put in jail for fraud for a few years.
Thank God.
But he was Canadian and part of the Commonwealth.
Throughout history, like even if you look like Tom DeLay, he's in jail. Yeah, I think he's no longer on Dancing in the Stars and all that stuff. He's actually doing time now. He was found guilty and put in jail. Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham in jail. I think Bernie Kerik is even in jail now, isn't he?
I don't know. I'd have to check that.
You know who Bernie Kerik was, right? Giuliani's chauffeur and bootlicker.
Right. I think you were the one who was telling me about him.
Yeah, for Giuliani Partners and all that stuff.
Right.
They tried to put him in as head of the Department of Homeland Security. Guy didn't even have a college education. And nothing against not having a college education, because there's plenty of brilliant people out there who never graduated college, but this guy was not one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, certainly wasn't qualified to do that job.
Anyway. Right. He ran a prison, you know, and he worked for Giuliani literally as his chauffeur and his bootlicker. And, you know, Giuliani, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Giuliani dressing up and dragged.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
He's equally revolting as a woman or a man.
Right. Mr. 9/11.
Yep.
And guess what? He was also knighted by the Queen.
And thankfully, he was hammered in the presidential nomination.
God, we'd have a little tiny Mussolini, you know.
Yeah.
The trains and planes and everything would run on time because nobody would be flying.
Well, there you go. Unfortunately, fortunately, he's not in power, at least overtly. But
well, and a lot of these people, though, if the people do what is necessary, if the people step to the plate, these people do go by the wayside. And, you know, even I think Cheney and Bush are both up on charges in Europe.
I would be very surprised to see that going anywhere anytime soon, but it's still important to keep up the pressure on things like that.
Well, but they're not flying into these countries.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, exactly. And Kissinger lives in complete dread of ever being, you know, having to make a stopover in Paris or anything
like that. Or pointed out in public, because there's a lot of people know and understand who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a war criminal.
That's exactly right.
But Cheney,
recently, just last year, he was in Ireland for the Trilateral Commission meeting that takes place a few weeks before the Bilderberg meeting, and some people were trying to get the Irish authorities to arrest him.
Yeah.
To get him deported. But
well, good. And then they feel the heat a little bit and the threat and, you know, the concern over ending up in prison.
Yeah.
You know, because it does, it is unsettling for them to realize that there are people out there and there are powers that are greater than them that at some point, if enough evidence and information and people keep pushing, it's going to become so clear that, you know, if Cheney gets another bypass or another fake heart or, you know, more implants and he survives, that maybe he could see. Look how long it took for Pinochet.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. But it does happen in the end. So we got to keep that hope and keep the pressure up.
Yep, and keep pushing. The thing like with Cheney, though, Cheney was, I don't know if it was Vail, but it was Colorado. He had bought land there. He kept flying in and visiting, and then he eventually bought property. And the people would show up, and they'd turn their back to him, and they'd put signs up saying, you know, go home and take your politics with you. And eventually he sold the property and left. So peer pressure, and peer pressure is important because they are our peers. You may not think so. You may not believe it. They may not even believe it, but they are. And the only way that it is brought home to them is to treat them as our peers, because they are.
That's right, exactly. And getting in their face and letting them know that we do know about them and what they're doing and just shining the light of publicity on it. And now that we live in a day and age where the average person can pick up a cheap digital camera and go on YouTube and reach potentially millions of people. I mean, it's just an incredible age, so people need to be taking advantage of that and getting in these people's faces.
And like what Gary Franchi is doing, he is really, really, really polished and become quite sophisticated in his program. I'd recommend for people to go check it out.
That's right. You can find him on YouTube at Lone Lantern, or you can find his website, rtr.org. It's got a really, really slick package going, and it's great. It's just another asset to the freedom movement.
They can find him, too, on you just did the interview from, do you remember what day it was?
I don't remember what day, but you can find it on my website. In fact, you can find it on YouTube. Just search Gary Franchi on Aaron Russo's Legacy.
And then your website, of course, is?
CorbettReport.com. Thank you for forcing me to plug it.
Got to make sure you get that plug in there. let me throw out the call-in number again, 800-313-9443. Come on, people.
All right. Well, actually, we have Dave from California back on the line with a little bit more info. So, Dave, are you there?
Yes, there's a nice short...
short bio of Fred Whitehurst on a site called FBIWhistleStop.com. And then I looked him up in Super Pages, and he has a law practice in Bethel, North Carolina, handling criminal, traffic, DWI, personal injury, and forensic counseling. I'm sure he could tell you all sorts of interesting things in forensic counseling.
Yeah, exactly. No, I do remember listening to an interview with him not too long ago on the subject of whistleblowing and what he was doing in the crime lab, and it was fascinating stuff, and he definitely knows what's going on a bigger scale, so we'll definitely look into getting him on the program in the future, I think.
Well, what's bad about that, though, is you see that competent people, they're using the Peter Principle, like with Bernie Kerik, where they take people who are completely incompetent, and they're putting them in positions of power and trust to where they will decimate the country, to where they will carry out, you know, by their own incompetence. Like even what's happened.
It was just incompetence, though. But it's actual total criminal behavior.
Yes.
By the FBI planting evidence in order to convict people.
Yes.
I mean, that goes way beyond incompetence.
True.
And it's quite scary, actually. And it's scary to hear from one of the people who was heading the crime lab at the FBI, who's blowing the whistle on that kind of stuff.
Look what the Coast Guard Homeland Security is doing with me. They tried to connect me to Timothy McVeigh.
Right, exactly.
They put a bolo out on me saying that I may be dangerous. They falsified medical records saying that I said that evil spirits possessed me at times when I never said that.
That's it. Well, that's the type of games they play with people who are trying to bring this information out, and it's good to see that Frederick Whitehurst has survived with his reputation intact. So,
yes.
We'll look to getting him. Excellent. Well, Dave,
thank you, Dave,
for that.
Anything else?
Well, we got the phone number and the address here, so it shouldn't be any big deal to contact him.
Yeah, no, that's true. In fact, I have his email. I've
exchanged
emails with him. His
office is on U.S. Highway 64, about half a mile west of U.S. 13.
Well, you're not telling Homeland Security anything they already don't know.
Oh, no. This is available to us members of the unwashed public.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Hey, can you email that to me at uploadinthezone@gmail.com?
Uploadinthezone?
Yeah. In the Zone is a program, and uploadinthezone@gmail.com.
Okay.
And anybody else out there who needs that email, you can email me. And any support, help, you know, even a thank you, whatever, for what I'm doing, what James is doing, even what Dave is doing, and calling into the program and participating goes a long way.
Yeah, you've been working without a net for quite a long time.
Yeah, I'm still falling, man. It's like, you know that old TV series, The Fugitive, where the bouncing ball was following the guy?
The bouncing ball is the prisoner.
Oh, you're right. With Ben Gazzara or whatever?
No, that's a third series.
Oh, I'm bringing them all together.
You know that one.
All right, we'll be right back. Go ahead. James.
Okay, we'll be back on Republic Broadcasting. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com back here on Republic Broadcasting. This is In the Zone, and your host, as always, is Lieutenant Eric Schein, who's joining us tonight from Phoenix, Arizona. And we're talking, of course, about Lieutenant Eric Schein's ongoing ordeal with the Coast Guard and the ridiculous legal proceedings that he's been in for, what, 7 years? Going on 8 years now?
Well,
and,
under the law, under Supreme Court case precedents, you're considered in police custody as soon as they focus on you in an investigation, to where it's not a general investigation anymore, trying to find a person or, you know, who done it, and they've decided on one person. So in May 29th, 2002, there's an email from Lieutenant Tribble, the Coast Guard investigating officer, quote unquote, and the Coast Guard is a police agency, minimally, if not a military police agency now, who had, you know, been investigating me since 2002, and then they brought charges in 2003 for, quote unquote, being depressed. But this all dates back to the 2000 when I tried to stop an explosion on board a government vessel and refused to carry out the order to light off the steam plant, the boilers. And then they had a junior officer, a third assistant engineering officer, do it. And sure enough, there was a flashback explosion, and he got burned. and then they went to dump hazardous materials from the boilers into the harbor up there in Alameda, and I tried to stop them. They terminated me, promoted the third to my position as second, and, you know, quote-unquote, let me go in retaliation. And then ever since, the Lieutenant Tribble, who came involved in that and basically covered it up for the shipping company and the government, because it's a government vessel, and the union, has been pursuing me for the last 10 years.
How dare you not want to burn yourself? What a ridiculous and horrible thing to do.
Right, and protect other people and not have an explosion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
doing what you actually should be doing as a second engineer.
Right. Well, and, you know, I've advanced. I went to Kings Point, and everybody has a different, you know, and I've even been chastised that, you know, if I was in charge of that ship and I was chief engineer on there, I would have keel-hauled you and blah, 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 and, you know, whatever. It's like, wait, you've got different people on there. They're called assistant engineers for a reason. They're there to assist and make sure that, you know, two heads are better than one, three heads are better than one, you know, four heads are better than three, whatever, that you've got a bunch of licensed, degreed marine engineers that are thinking about safety first and that hopefully have the wherewithal and are working under the conditions where they can speak out and not get retaliated for it. But what's happened is not only presumption of innocence has been taken away, but our systems of due process here in the United States, both industrial, remedial, administrative, judicial, internal, you know, like even for within agencies and stuff, have all been flipped to where they're being used as targeting systems instead. So anybody who complains, Sybil Edmonds, Whitehurst, Lorraine Murray, she's on there with, she's been out there with Doug Roeke about the DU stuff, and she was just on Jesse Ventura's program about the water, and she was on air with Jesse and stuff talking about it. And I actually stayed at Lorraine's house, went up to San Francisco, tried to talk to her, and she introduced me to some people up there and was trying to get some help and stuff going years back. But all these people, you know, we've had biologists killed, a record number of biologists here in the United States coincidentally killed as all this stuff is going on with the bees, and we have bioweapons, and Plum Island is being moved, and they're trying to reconstitute it and rebuild it, if not even reinvigorate it, and while we're in the middle of war and war on terrorism and all this other stuff going on. And it's absolutely insane. Like, you know, I'm living the life of Kafka right now.
Yes. Yes, you are, and you need help.
Right. And that's the big... Because it's not just about me. I mean, if I die tomorrow and they dismiss the case... People, not enough people fully understand. And there were people here tonight that got it right away. Ernie Hancock, he said, you got me at hello. I understand it. I want you on the program. He set it up. And, you know, we're going from there.
Well, that's the start. And we'll have to keep plugging away at it. And we will do so every Saturday night right here on RBN, 9 p.m. So, 9 p.m. Pacific. So
and interviews on your program as well on the Corbett Report.
Yeah, maybe next week. So,
cool.
So stay tuned for that. So, once again, let's just keep working together.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.